might mention that there was another instance of segregation in that at dinner time, there was a small room down on the lower level, almost in the dungeon, near the kitchens, which was available to the very senior officers in the parliamentary departments. And that meant only about, 15 or 20 people were eligible to eat in that that senior officers' dining room, and that was available only at dinner time, and of course only on sitting days, and many of the senior officers didn't avail themselves of that dining room, but it was there to be used, but only by that small group.
So there was not only, in a sense, a bit of segregation between the various sections and areas of departments of Parliament, but also amongst the on a hierarchical level. Only so what would happen, for example, if you were acting as in one of the senior positions, would you then be allowed into the inner sanctum that you just referred to?
Yes, if you were acting substantively in a position, my recollection is that you were entitled to eat in that that dining room.
In the when you first came into the building in 1960, the Hansard offices were below where the then Prime Minister's office in the northeastern corner.
That's right.
Now there was one thing which I noticed. There was a Lamson pneumatic tube which went down, come down from the chamber, from the attendance booth down to the Hansard office one. In the early 70s, the whole Hansard was moved up into the Senate wing. What happened to the, what effect did that have on the way you actually handled papers and transmission of documents, for example?
It didn't have any great effect or make any great difference. Just to go back a little, initially, in the Hansard offices here on the lower level of the northeast, in the northeastern corner, as you said, there was the Parliament House end of the pneumatic tubes between here and the Government Printing Office at Kingston. They were actually in the in our Hansard offices, so. When the Hansard typescripts were completed, they were rolled up, put in the canister, put in the tube, and sent down to the Government Printing Office for typesetting. And then, for instance, those advanced copies of the daily Hansards could be sent back in the parallel tube from the Government Printing Office the following morning. So that the Hansard office was the Parliament House terminus of that pneumatic system to and from the Government Printing Office. Now, as you mentioned, there was also a pneumatic tube system from the chambers to the Hansard office, and I'm uncertain as to when that was installed. But it certainly came after the original Government Printing Office pneumatic tube system. And as well as the tube system from the House of Reps attendance booth to the Hansard office, the House of Reps had a pneumatic tube system going from that Reps attendance office to the House of Reps table office on the lower level. I'm uncertain whether the Senate ever had such a system from the Senate attendance office to their Senate table office. Those in-house pneumatic systems were quite useful in sending information backwards and forwards. We always had our Hansard attendants who did a lot of the messengerial type work, and those in-house tubes reduced considerably the amount of running around the building that they had to do. Just one aspect that I haven't mentioned is that we always had a very good system with almost all members and senators of their providing their speech notes to us as reporters. Even also, we had little message slips on which we could ask a senator or member for a piece of information, the spelling of a name or the name of a book or all sorts of items of information. Our practice was to fill out that little form, and as we left the chamber we would give that to the House or Senate attendant and ask him or her to take it to the senator or member in the chamber. So often then we would have left the chamber and gone to the Hansard area by the time that material was ready, and that's an example of the sort of material that would have been sent from the chamber attendance booth to the Hansard offices. And if again, if there was anything that was required in the chamber from Hansard, we were able to send it up from the Hansard office to the chamber attendance office to the tube system.
So, when they moved it to the Senate wing, how did that that particularly the one that goes down when tube that goes to the government printer's office? What happened to it when you went moved up to a quite different part of the building?
Yes, I'm sorry I didn't cover that in my answer, except that I said there was very little difference because basically the system was extended continue to provide that facility. My understanding is that the line was taken to the back of the building and then along the back over here to the House of Reps side, and then it was joined up at some point to the tube system that went to the government printing office at Kingston. Whether it came all the way down the Reps side of the building to the point which is the main access point, which is along this House of Reps side, but more towards the front of the building than towards the back, I'm not too sure. Whether it was just connected up at some other point towards the back of the building.
So, and in any case, it didn't affect the way you operated or document. You could get documents to and from the printers and the chamber just as before.
It worked almost exactly the same way.
How would you describe the working conditions as such during your early years here?
When I came, we had a staff of about 25 permanent officers, and we had 10 sessional typists. And being in a quite prime position in the building, which we were always anxious to retain, we were in quite cramped conditions. The 10 typist transcription booths were around the perimeter of our Hansard area, along the eastern front corner of the building. And next to those transcription booths was a reasonably large room which accommodated the supervisors and one or two of the most senior of the reporters, as well as the third reporter, the number three in the hierarchy. He was in that supervisor's room. He did not have an office of his own. And then next to that room, there were two reporters' rooms that had about seven or eight reporters in each of those two rooms. Next to that, those rooms, was the administrative office, a small office which had one administrative officer and the two attendants. Next to that office was the principal parliamentary reporter's office, which was a reasonably large office where what I'll call the bay window is along the front of the building. I don't know what the proper expression for that area I've called the bay window, but it protrudes out into toward from the front of the building, and that was the PPR's office. And there was a side door out onto the veranda, and next to the PPR's office, also with a door coming out onto the front veranda, was the second reporter or assistant principal parliamentary reporter's office. And there was also either one or two transcription booths tucked in to that little corner. And later, when we expanded the number of typists to 12, we took in a little cubbyhole that was at the end of the corridor. The main corridor, where it took a right angle bend, where Prime Minister would come in from the House of Reps side of the building into the Reps lobby and take a right angle, or turn left actually, but a 90 degree angle in that corridor and go up the steps to his office immediately above our offices. In that, near that 90 degree angle, was a tiny little broom cupboard, in effect, which at one point was converted into a transcription booth. That's probably the worst example, plus I suppose the fact that we had seven or eight reporters in each of the two reporters' rooms, so we were in very cramped conditions. And that was the case from when I, certainly from one of the big expansions in the staff occurred in the mid-50s, of course, with the introduction of the Daily Hansard. So when I came in 1960, that was the accommodation situation.
Very crowded and cramped, like so many parts of this building.
Sure, that's right. So do you want to talk about the move up to the Senate wing now, or?
Yes, by all means, if you'd like to do that. That's
okay. So when the Senate wing was put on in 1972, we were, I think it was determined that we would move from our quite prime position up to the top floor of the new Senate wing, the new Southwest wing. And we were given much more spacious accommodation. In effect, we took the whole of the top floor of that new wing. So we had the entrance foyer, where the pneumatic tube system was located. There was a front counter with room for the attendants at the in the at the front counter, and small office behind there. There was initially the administrative officer had his space in that area, but later was moved over to another side of the corridor. And then there was an office for an administrative assistant who acted as the principal parliamentary reporter's secretary. So her office was adjacent to the PPR's office. And then going along the corridor, along the wing, there was the assistant principal parliamentary reporter's office. And by this time, we had positions that were designated as leader of the staff, leader of staff. And there was a leader of staff position for the Senate and a leader of the staff position for the reps. And one of the offices for those leaders was next. And then there were two large rooms running laterally along the wing, which were the supervisors' rooms. And they were able to accommodate quite comfortably four in each room, I think. Next to those two rooms was a reasonably large room which accommodated three of the most senior reporters. And by that time, I think we actually had positions designated of senior reporter. They were reporters who worked on the houses but took a leadership role in the reporting teams. And that's the room that I moved to. When we moved from the northeastern, from the lower northeastern corner up to the southwest wing, I moved into that senior reporter's room. Next to that was the other office for the staff leader. By this time, we had a photocopying machine. And it was in that the corner next to the that leader of staff room. And then we're back to the right in the southwest corner. And from that corner, all along the southern side of the wing, were the reporters' rooms. And there were usually four reporters in each of those rooms, all the way along there, till we came to a room which was our the room for our reporters in training. By this time, we had a reporter training scheme, and we had provision for reporters in training, a room for them. And right at the end was a common room for the typists, because coming back along the inner side of the main corridor was a whole series of soundproof transcription booths. And I think we would have had a dozen of those all the way along that corridor. So the typists had a small soundproof booth. Mm. And we had a similar facility here on the rep side of the building, but it was much smaller. But here we had a larger common room where the typists were able to which they were able to retire in a little more comfort and have a little bit of relaxation between their turns and in their meal breaks and things like that. And finally, there were originally two booths which were converted into an administrative office As the staff increased, there were more administrative duties and more responsibility imposed on the administrative side of the department. So we had a small administrative office immediately opposite the principal parliamentary reporter's office.
You mentioned something which I must admit I have not heard before. You referred to team leaders or staff leaders for each chamber. Mm. Did that mean that the reporters were actually divided up into you were a Senate, basically a Senate man, and you were a rep man?
Yes, but not on a permanent basis. We tended to try to keep a team of reporters on the same house for a sessional period. And in some respects, it was a quite complicated arrangement because we tried to take into account several factors. One was that some reporters were more suited to the House of Reps than the Senate. For instance, I always felt that I was more suited to the Senate because although I felt that my shorthand speed was quite adequate and quite good, I felt that I did have a pretty reasonable editorial ability. On the other hand, there were some reporters who were really good shorthand writers, but they weren't quite as expert on the editorial side. And because the amount of editing required was greater in the Senate than in the reps, we made that allocation partly on that factor. Now, let me interpose that my reason for saying that the Senate required more editorial effort than the House was that over the years there was an increase in members preparing and reading their speeches in the reps. And for many years there was a Senate standing order which the presiding officers tried to observe but weren't really strict on it, that said that senators were not allowed to read their speeches. And when a point of order was taken, they were often, the presiding officer would often say, I believe the Honourable Senator is referring to copious notes. And that was the way they got around that issue. And of course, because there were only half as many senators as members, and to some extent, the houses sat concurrently. Senators had much more time available. They weren't required, they got more opportunities to speak, and they weren't required to put as much effort into preparing their speeches and delivering a succinct speech. And there were more opportunities for proper debate. There were more extempore speeches than in the reps, where it was quite common, and this was an increasing trend, quite common for a debate to consist of a series of prepared read speeches in which the members often didn't even refer to what had been said by the previous speaker. And it wasn't really a debating chamber in that sense, but it meant that those speeches required much more editing. Sorry, those speeches required much less editing than the Senate speeches. And though it was quite usual for us to have access to those prepared speeches, there were always the times when, for some reason or other, we didn't get access to the written speech, and the speech often would be an exercise in shorthand speed writing. So that was one factor in the team allocation. And then, of course, there were differences in the levels of ability of the reporters. So it was obviously unfair to allocate two reporters, and that was often the case, sometimes three reporters of lesser ability to one supervisor. The idea was to spread the load as much as we could. So we had, and in fact, at some points we adopted the practice of rating the reporters on an unofficial basis and using that rating system to allocate the reporters to houses and to supervisors.
And this was for a session, sort of generally speaking. This allocation would last a session and then it'd be reviewed again.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And maybe even for what we call the sessional period. Because for much of my time, we did have two sessional periods in a year. We had the autumn session and the budget session. Now that's been changed in recent years, but that certainly was the case for much of my time. So it might have been for a sessional period that a reporter would be in the one house most of the time. But there were still times when there was only one house, when the reporters would be working on the other house. I suppose they were the main factors in the allocation of reporters to teams. Initially, when that position of staff leader was established, as I say, we had a staff leader senate and a staff leader house of reps, but that didn't mean that they worked solely on those houses. They often switched houses, and certainly when there was only one house. But then later, with the absolute burgeoning of the committee work, we were able to get a third position of leader of staff for the committee system. So towards the end of my time anyway, we had three positions of leader of staff.
Tom, I suggest we might take a short break here. We've been going for nearly an hour and a half, so we'll have a short break and then recommence.